The subject which I have chosen for tonight is the relevance of the Bible today. We're going to read from Proverbs chapter 3, commencing at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You don't have to be very old to know that we're living in a day of changing standards. There are changing moral standards in the day in which we live. We live in a day when situation ethics apply. And people say, well, there is no absolute decision as to how we should behave. You decide what is right in your situation. You decide how you ought to behave, and provided you don't hurt anybody else, that will be all right. The standards that we have today are standards that we decide upon for ourselves. The result is that in the day in which we live, there are many attacks upon the establishment, upon the church, upon government, upon authorities generally. And in the midst of all this, we would be excused if we form the impression that the generation in which we live has decided that Christianity is irrelevant. Just a moment. Before you do that, one of the remarkable things is that although there are changing moral standards, although people by and large are against the established ways, the fact of the matter is that there is more interest in Christian things today than there has been at any time. Some time ago, Truth Is All Urgent organized young people on Sunday afternoons, four Sunday afternoons, in the Burwood Chapel. And as part of the exercise, they got these young people to take questionnaires and asked their friends at school certain questions. There were various questions on the sheet, and the last one was, if you had the opportunity, would you like to find out more about God? And something like about 85% of the non-Christian high school students who were asked this question replied in the affirmative, yes. We would like to know more about God. Now, I must confess that I'm not addicted to commercial radio. I'm square enough to confine myself mostly to 2FC, with perhaps a change to 2CH on a Sunday. However, from time to time, my radio finds its way round to some of the other stations. And when I listen to commercial radio, one of the things that amazes me is you hardly listen to a program in which there is not some reference made to the Lord Jesus Christ, and not in any slighting way, not in any disparaging way, but in a perfectly honest and straightforward way. Indeed, quite a few pop songs that are sung today have to do with Christian things. So that from any standpoint, it's quite obvious that the generation in which we live has not debunked the whole idea of Christianity. They may not think very much of church. They may not go very often to church. And yet, there remains today a very keen interest in Christian things. And so I want to say, first of all, this evening, I believe the Bible, the scriptures, are applicable presently. They are applicable in the present time. Now, this is something very remarkable. The Bible that we have was written mostly in Hebrew and in Greek. Small sections of it were written in Aramaic. It was written over a period of some 1600 years, and the most recent parts of it were written some 1900 years ago. From every standpoint, we would expect that a book like this would be something of a museum piece. It would be of interest to archaeologists. It would be of interest to some of those professors who dabble in Hebrew and Greek and ancient languages and ancient customs, but it would really have very little to do with the things in which you and I are concerned day by day. But the remarkable thing is that this book, written so many years ago, parts of it written 3,500 years ago, is so staggeringly up to date that I'm going to venture to say that the Bible is more up to date than tomorrow morning's newspaper. When you open your paper tomorrow morning, it will tell you some of the events that took place today. It won't even hazard a guess at what's going to take place the day after. But the Bible tells me of events that are taking place today, of events that are going to take place in the future, and it gives me at the same time the reason for these things. So that the Bible, in fact, is more up to date than tomorrow morning's newspaper. I believe that there are three reasons why the Bible is relevant presently. First of all, because it was written by the eternal God. When I was a boy, I used to try to think what eternity meant, and I used to end up by going round in circles. I'm not going to try to do that tonight. It's quite impossible for me to imagine conditions where place no longer has any meaning and where time no longer has any meaning. I just can't understand this. I'm bound by time, particularly bound by time when I'm preaching, because I remember that if I don't watch the clock, the audience will. We're very much bound by time. And it's quite impossible for me to imagine a situation where time has no meaning. But I accept the fact that God is eternal, that God lives outside of time, that God is not confined to Sunday evening on a certain day in a certain year, but that God is eternal, and not just that he goes on for always, but that he is eternally present, that he is. He describes himself as I am. Now God says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The psalmist said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Bible is relevant today because it is written by the eternal God, who is just as present today as he was at the time when this book was being written. Secondly, this book is relevant presently because whilst cultures change, man remains basically the same. Now I must confess that my experience is somewhat limited. I have spent some considerable amount of my time in Hong Kong. I was born and brought up in England. I have spent some 6 years or more now in Australia. I have spent shorter periods of time in New Zealand and some other countries. But I discover wherever I go that whilst the customs change very considerably, whilst people may have very different ways of doing things, that man basically remains unchanged. Now, this is something very remarkable. This is something that I discover as I begin to read the Bible. I begin to read about men who lived in a very different age. They didn't have television sets. They didn't have radio sets. In fact, they didn't have electricity in any form, apart from lightning. They didn't have the use of automation. They didn't have vehicles. They didn't have machines. They didn't live a life at all like my life. They didn't even have newspapers. They didn't have mass communication in any shape or form. Their whole life was completely different from mine. And yet as I begin to read their story, I'm amazed to discover that these men had the same sort of feelings that I had. I remember some years ago when I was quite sick in Hong Kong, and I picked up a little booklet that described the experiences of Elijah. Now, Elijah's life was very different from mine. Elijah had to walk around on foot wherever he went. His whole background was completely different from my own background. His language was different, his customs were different, everything was different. But as I read that booklet, I realized that the experiences that Elijah had been going through were almost identical with the experiences that I had been going through. And when I turn to James, I read, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. This is what makes the Bible so up to date. These men that are described were just like you and me. Oh, they didn't travel around in cars. They didn't have a 40-hour week. They weren't pressing for a 35-hour week. They couldn't turn on their radio set. Their whole background was completely different. But basically, they were the same. They had those same basic needs that we had. They had the same appetites that we had. They had the same desires that we had. And they were subject to the same temptations that we have. And they were liable to the same sins. Indeed, put in a nutshell, this is always the problem of men. Now I know we're very apt to feel that our problems today are different from other ages. After all, we live in a polluted city. We're in danger of overpopulation. We are facing the problems of energy crises. We've got a host of problems that Elijah knew nothing about, breathing that nice fresh air as he walked around the land of Canaan and in a land that wasn't overpopulated and without any problems about shortage of petrol. And yet, the fact of the matter is that man's need always, basically, his problem basically, has been the problem of sin. God said to the people of his day, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That was true of Adam. That was true of all Adam's children. That's true of men and women today. Man's problem, basically, in all ages, in all cultures, is the same. Doesn't matter whether you live in Hong Kong, or New Zealand, or England, or Australia, or anywhere else. The basic problem with man is sin. And the Bible is dealing with man's problem, his problem of sin, that separates him from God. The Bible is relevant presently because it was written by an eternal God. It is relevant presently because it deals with man's problem. It doesn't deal with specific cultures and specific customs. It's dealing with man's basic problems. Thirdly, the Bible is relevant today because we have a general awareness that time is running out. The thing that surprises me is that it's not so much the preachers who talk about the end of the world as the scientists. It's they who are concerned. It's they who are not sure whether we're going to kill ourselves with pollution, or whether we're going to starve ourselves with overpopulation, or whether we're going to blow ourselves up with a nuclear bomb. But one thing is quite certain, so far as scientists are concerned, and that is that our days are numbered. It won't be long before the end of the world. But the Bible has a great deal to say about the end of the world. The Bible has a great deal to say about last times. It has to deal with the very situation in which we are living. When I read the Bible, I read an accurate description of conditions that prevail in the very day in which we live, this very year. Paul says that the last days will be characterized like this. Men will be lovers of their own selves. They'll be utterly selfish. What a description that is of the day in which we live. Men will be covetous. That's the reason for many of the strikes that we have, because we're covetous. We haven't got enough. We've got too much time for working in, and we've got too little money as a result. And we're covetous. We want more spare time, and we want more money for having more spare time. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. You can hardly walk outside the door of your house without hearing the name of God blasphemed. Disobedient to parents. Sounds pretty up to date, doesn't it? Unthankful. Unholy. Inhuman. You read this week some of the things that have been going on in our own state. Inhuman. Truth breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. I ask you, where did you read a description of the present generation that was more accurate than that? And because the Bible is dealing with conditions in the last times, and we are in the last times, therefore the Bible is very relevant. The Bible is relevant presently. Secondly, the Bible is relevant personally. As I read the Bible, the thing that strikes me again and again is the fact that God is speaking to me. God's speaking to me. I don't always like this. Sometimes when people are preaching and they're getting a bit pointed in their preaching, I say to myself, I hope so-and-so is listening to what the preacher says. It's just meant for him. And I like very much to put it off. And I read the Bible and I say, that's a very good text to give to my friend. I must remember that one. But I can't avoid it that way, because I find the Bible is speaking to me. It's got an inbuilt authority. And as I read this book, I am aware it's talking to me and it's talking about me. This applies not only to the New Testament, it applies to the Old. When I read the book of Judges, I read of conditions that are prevailing today. When I turn to the prophets, and particularly the minor prophets, those little books at the end of the Old Testament, I'm staggered by the fact that they're describing the sort of conditions that are all around us. Yes, the Bible speaks personally. It speaks to us today. A few weeks ago, I picked up a leaflet put out by the Wycliffe Bible Translators. It was a little prayer guide, and on the front cover, there was an extract from one of Corrie Ten Boom's books. I remember meeting Corrie Ten Boom in Hong Kong on one occasion, and hearing something of her story, of how during the war years, she hid many Jews from the Nazis, and then eventually she herself was put in prison. And writing about her prison experiences, she said this: sometimes I would slip the Bible from its little sack with hands that shook. So mysterious had it become to me. It was new. It had just been written. I marveled sometimes that the ink was dry. I believed the Bible always. But reading it now had nothing to do with belief. It was simply a description of things as they were, of hell, of heaven, of how men act and how God acts. She discovered in that situation that the Bible, written all those centuries ago in a different culture, in a different language, was describing exactly the events that were taking place then at that time in Holland under the Nazis. Oh, but just a minute, Corrie ten Boom. You can't have it all for yourself. I find, as I read the Bible, living in Australia at this time, that this book speaks to me in my circumstances. And like you, I feel, I'm surprised sometimes the very ink is dry. It seems so up to date. I imagine if I rub my finger across it, the ink would smudge. It's talking about me and the circumstances in which I live. I had a letter fairly recently in the office from a friend who works in South Australia. He said our lay evangelists are finding constantly that it is little portions of scripture that people will take. We have many tracts that are very well written and very well produced and very well illustrated, he said, but somehow they seem to miss the mark. Whereas little booklets and leaflets which are composed just of scripture, of the word of God, are taken by people, and people feel this is God speaking to me. I remember hearing of a garage man, and he was offered a tract, and his response was, why do you offer that to me? Why don't you give me something from the Bible? God speaks to me through his word. The Bible is relevant presently. The Bible is relevant personally. Thirdly, the Bible is relevant persistently. You know, it's here that so often we have broken down. It's here that so often we have failed. It's for this very reason that so often the church has been described as being a bunch of hypocrites. The Bible is relevant persistently. The Bible is not a book intended for reading in church on Sunday only. It is a book that is to characterize and is to mold and to form my whole life. It is relevant to every situation in life. And if the Bible has become merely a book that is of interest on a Sunday, and by which I do not live my life through the week, then I have failed to appreciate the scriptures for what they really are. We read together this evening those familiar words, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And maybe as we read those words, you'll say, yes, they're very nice words. I think that's wonderfully true. If we're going to be saved at all, we're going to be saved by trusting in the Lord, not by our own way, not by leaning to our own understanding. Yes, that's a very precious truth. I know that through sin I'm separated from God. I know that God has provided salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for me, bearing my sin. I know that he rose again and he's a living Savior. I know that if I trust only in him, not in myself, then I can have eternal life. What a very wonderful verse that is. A verse on which to hope. A verse from which to preach on Sunday evening. Ah. But this isn't only for Sunday evening. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. What about tomorrow morning when I'm in the office, and there are perplexities in my business, and I've got to decide what to do? Oh, well, of course, Monday's different. On Monday, I must depend upon my business acumen. On Monday, I must depend upon my wisdom that I've acquired over the years. On Monday, I must depend upon my experience. On Sunday, I'll trust in the Lord. But on Monday, I'll trust in myself. What does he say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And if words mean anything at all, those words mean that the Bible is as relevant to my business life on Monday as it is to my church life on Sunday. That it is just as operative in school or in technical college or in university or in the office or in business or in the home. It's just as operative there as it is when I meet with Christians on Sunday. And that if I am a Christian at all, if my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me and rose again, and this is something that doesn't only apply to Sunday evening, but applies equally to every situation of every day. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That is, recognize in all things that he is Lord. That he's not only Lord of the church. He's not only Lord when I come together on Sunday and I proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. But on Monday, when I'm busy about the home, when I'm in the office, the factory, in the college, in school, that there I acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. He is Lord of all. He is Lord in every part of my life. He is Lord of my business. He is Lord of my study. He is Lord of my home. He is Lord of all. Now the Word of God is applicable persistently. It is a book by which I am to direct my lives day by day, acknowledging the Lord as Lord and trusting in him in every situation, proving that in all things he will direct my path. The Bible is relevant presently. The Bible is relevant personally. The Bible is relevant persistently. Finally, I want to say this. The Bible is relevant powerfully. My daily work is concerned with the distribution of Scripture. I work as the Australian Secretary for Scripture Gift Mission. And our work is to send out portions of the Word of God, not only in Australia, but also through Papua New Guinea and New Caledonia, New Hebrides and the Solomon Islands. And into my office come letters day by day telling of how God is using his Word. Some of these letters are very thrilling, and they remind me that in the day in which we live, God is using his Word. Not so long ago, a letter came to my desk, written by a friend in England whom I knew when I was in Hong Kong. This lady told a story of a traveller in England. He gave a lift to a soldier. And as they were travelling in the car, the traveller, who was a Christian man, started to talk to the soldier and was trying to bring round the conversation to spiritual things. The soldier looked at him and he said, "Are you trying to talk to me about Jesus Christ? Because if so, I want you to know that I already know him." The traveller said, "How come?" He said, "Well, I was in Northern Ireland, and a group of us were out on service in part of Northern Ireland, and an old couple came out of their home and they gave each of the soldiers a cup of tea, and they also gave them a copy of a leaflet called 4 Things God Wants You to Know. one of the leaflets published by Scripture Gift Mission. He said, I enjoyed the cup of tea. I wasn't very interested in the leaflet. I stuck it in my pocket. Sometime later, he said, I went to get my clothes cleaned and I pulled it out. I sat down and I read the scripture portions that you need to be saved. You cannot save yourself. God has provided your salvation. The Lord Jesus is able to save and to keep. And I read the verses under each of the headings. And then the back page, therefore, repent, believe, confess your sins to God, acknowledge Christ before men. And he said, I did just that. I was converted. I was saved. He said, as a matter of fact, quite a number of British soldiers in Northern Ireland are being won for the Lord at this present time. A missionary in Japan had some copies of one of our handbooks called The Living and True God in Japanese. He gave a copy to a Japanese school teacher who had inquired about the Christian faith. She herself was not a Christian, but she was interested, and so he gave her a copy. Next week, when he went along to the church service, he found the lady was there, and she'd brought 37 of her students from school with her. That evening, 9 of those young people who'd never listened to the preaching of the gospel before responded to the claims of Christ, because God had spoken through his word, and they turned from darkness to light. A lady in Canada went to visit a young man who had been condemned to death, who was in prison awaiting the death sentence. She gave him a copy of one of our booklets called The Way of Salvation. Scripture verses that set out God's wonderful plan, how sin had entered the world, how God provided a remedy for sin through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he rose again, how through repentance and faith we might have life. And as he read that booklet, God spoke to him, and he was wonderfully converted. He began to share it with other people in the prison. He began to witness for the Lord, and the result was others too have been won for the Lord. His sentence was later reduced to a life sentence. There in that prison, he is living for God. He is witnessing for God, because someone gave him a portion of Scripture. God is working like that in this country too. A young man from Adelaide came to Sydney and was travelling on the railway and received a copy of that leaflet, Four Things God Wants You to Know. He went back to Adelaide. He was doing some work for a Christian woman. She said, I wish you'd come along to our church sometime. And the next Sunday morning, he went along with her to a little gospel chapel like this. At the end of the Sunday morning service, after they had broken bread, that young man sitting at the back remained there, and the tears were rolling down his face. One of the elders spoke to him. He said, what's the matter? He said, I've been reading a leaflet called Four Things God Wants You to Know. God has spoken to me, he said. I know that I'm not right with God. I know that I'm separated from God because of my sin, and I want to get saved this morning. And there at the end of that breaking of bread service, that Christian man had the joy of leading that young man to the Lord, because God had spoken through his word. The scriptures are relevant powerfully. A few months ago, I went to a town south of Sydney. I was met at the station by a young man, and he said, I've been talking to a friend at work. I lent him a book about prophecy, and he was very interested. And then he said, because he was so interested, I gave him one of your booklets called God's Answer, setting out what the scriptures say about God, man, sin, the Christian life, faith in Christ. He said when he'd finished reading that, he was so interested that I then gave him a copy of The Way of Salvation. The result was he was converted. And then he shared those books with his girlfriend, and she was converted too. Just a few days ago, a lady wrote to us from Adelaide. She told of a girl of 11 who, through reading God's answer, came to put her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I could go on telling you story after story like this of people living today in whose life the Word of God has worked powerfully. Oh yes, the Bible is relevant. It's relevant presently. It's relevant personally for you. It is relevant persistently, just as much applicable to your life tomorrow as it is to your life today. It is relevant powerfully. Are you allowing the Word of God to have its effect in your life? Have you, through the Word of God, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Have you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through the Scriptures? Have they pointed you to the Savior? Have they shown you your sin and shown you the Savior dying for your sin, showing Him as a living Savior? Have they brought you to repentance from sin, a turning back to God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you personally received Him? And if you have received Him, are you trusting in the Lord with all your heart, not leaning to your own understanding in anything, but in all your ways acknowledging Him as Lord? As you plan your future, as you plan your holidays, as you plan where you'll live, those young people who are getting married soon, as you plan your future life together, are you acknowledging the Lord there? Are you acknowledging the Lord in business, in your education, in your home life? If you are, if in all your ways you acknowledge Him as Lord, He will direct your paths, and the Word of God will be powerful in its application in your life. Oh, what we're talking about tonight is not just theory. I'm not just telling you in a theoretical sort of way why the Bible ought to be relevant today. I am telling you from my own experience and from the experience of others that God's Word is relevant, and God wants His Word to be relevant in your life too. Will you allow God to make that Word relevant to you? To trust in the Lord with all your heart, to lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways to acknowledge Him and prove that He will indeed